She's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pennies.
Good morning to you. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Good morning, and I like this cold weather.
Tony.
How you guys doing?
Do you like this cold weather?
Yes.
And me, Sybil, I do not like this cold weather.
I agree, Sib.
I love the Texas summer heat. I'm not a fan of 50 degrees and under.
No. Too cool.
It will warm up a little bit today, though. But if you were out there walking or running in the Susan G. Komen walk today, Race for a Cure.
Perfect day.
You were probably freezing. So chilly.
That's why you have to wear a sweatshirt.
I guess. You could wear your shawl and be Tama.
Shawl.
That's right.
Bundle
Nobody
up.
Says shawl anymore.
Grandma Tammy does. Tama does. She's got a shawl at work today.
Yes.
All right. Let's get right into it. Phone number 877-881-1053. Autoflex Leasing fan text is 43733. And you can call Autoflex. They are open today. What are the numbers?
At either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888. 234-1234 out of the area. As always, autoflex.com, where you can see all of the great cars we have for sale on Save Money Monday, which is coming up on Monday. And that's when we offer all the cars that we're going to send to the auction. We offer those to the public and give them a chance to buy a car like the dealer does, buy it at auction price.
Mm-hmm. So save some money on Monday, or you can also call Autoflex today. They are open. Let's talk about something that everybody needs, insurance for your car. And when you're wondering which brand to go with, who gets the highest customer satisfaction ratings?
Well, you know, we talked about it last week. 10% of the people actually shop for insurance when they knew they renew their insurance, and 90% don't. So if you're in that 10% that does shop for insurance, you want to get the very best bang for the buck. And there's about 1,000 different automotive insurance companies out there. There's zillions of them. They're online. They have agents. You deal directly with the company. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. But Insure.com did a survey of 4,500 insurance customers nationwide between February and August of 11, and they got the highest and the lowest ratings from those customers as to how they thought their insurance company processed claims, how their customer service was, what kind of options they offered them, and then what kind of financial strength. And, of course, the financial strength is not rated by the customers. It's rated by bond services. But anyway, most bang for the buck. Now, the one thing I will say that I found interesting, there's several large insurance companies that I know are highly rated that aren't on this list. So it may be that the way they did the list somehow excluded them, but here's what the list says. Here's what Insure.com says. Most bang for the buck, happiest customers, USAA. They gave them an overall rating of 96%, 5 stars on processing, 5 stars on customer service, and 4 stars on coverage options. The other thing is they're an A++ rated company, so they're a big, healthy insurance company, and they do handle their claims well. I've talked to a lot of people that had USAA. They like them as an insuring company. The second one on the list, and this is one of those things, Erie Insurance Group. I'm
Never
not familiar
heard of
with
them.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with them. But they rated extremely highly across the board, followed by Auto Owners Insurance.
Never heard of that one.
Again. But see, that's why you got to shop around, because these companies are out there and they do have good service. One of the things you have to be careful of, and a lot of people believe in buying things for as little money as possible, but insurance companies handle claims different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are really easy to work with when you have a claim, and they say, put your car in the shop and let's get it fixed. Others will try to direct you to a shop that they have an affiliation with, and they sort of control how good the repair is on your car, what kind of parts are used, and whether corners are cut or not. And then others are just tough to work with. They make you jump through hoops to get your claim processed. So it's important to do your research before you buy insurance, because until you need it, you don't know it.
I'm curious, David, do you know if all auto insurance companies offer the diminished value?
That's a really good question. Here's the thing. Diminished value, first of all, you won't get it from your own insurance company. That's going to come from a liability company. So the person that ran into you, if you run your car into a tree, you're not going to get diminished value. But if someone hits you from behind and their insurance company pays, you have a right to collect diminished value. Interestingly enough, when you call and ask about diminished value, a lot of insurance companies will go, I'm not familiar with, we don't know if we, but they have to pay it in Texas.
So oh, it's a mandatory thing?
You have to press them to get them to pay diminished value. You know, we've had James Waldron on several times with the company. James owns a company that gets diminished value for his customers.
Maybe we should recap what that means.
Well, it means that if you have a car that's been in a wreck and it's repaired, even though it looks pretty good, it's lost value because when you go to trade the car in or to sell it to another individual, they're going to see something maybe on the Carfax or the auto check report, or they're going to look at the car and they're going to go, you know, the door is not the same color as the fender, you know? Yes. So it's going to hurt the value of the car. That's the diminished value you get. Even though your car has been repaired, maybe it looks really shiny, it's still not worth as much as it would have been had it not been wrecked. So diminished value is a big thing, and you can collect it, but you're probably going to have to press to do it.
That's why I think that the insurance and the future value of the car based on what has happened to it can really be something to be considered when people are leasing a vehicle, because with a lease versus when you own the car, that diminished value would affect you if you're trading in the car. But if you're turning it into the bank at the end of the lease term, then it's all their problem rather than yours.
You don't have to
worry about the future value.
Exactly. You don't have to worry about diminished value when you lease your car.
So if you're the one that backs into those parking posts, or you're the one that causes the accident and you can't claim the diminished value, it sure would be nice to just turn it back in at the end of the lease and not have that accident affect you later on.
Okay, moving down the list, next on the list is MetLife, and that's something that most people have heard of. 5 stars for claim processing, 4.5 stars for customer service, and 4 stars for coverage option. Again, that's an A-rated company. Country Insurance is the 5th. American Family is 6th. And then it goes down from there. Nationwide, AAA, State Farm, Allstate, Geico. And as we're going down the list, these are all rated a little bit lower for one reason or another. A couple of things to notice. Claims processing is something that you should be really, really conscious of, and conscious of how your insurance company is going to process claims, because that's really going to either help you or hurt you when you actually need them. So if you wanted to see this list, you could go to autoflex.com, like our Facebook page, and look for the story on Autoflex Facebook page that rates the insurance companies, because it's really pretty interesting.
David, when you say it's very important to pay attention to how the companies process claims, does that mean how they turn them down? Or how much they will pay, or?
Well, a little of everything. It's not necessarily how they'll turn them down, but they can make it very, very slow to process. Okay. and get people out. And if you look at insurance regulations, it's sort of crazy, because if you have an accident, they have like 30 days to make contact with you if they're the other company. Or if they're your company, they have 30 days to make contact. That's not really quick, but the regulations are written in such a way that they really have a lot of leeway as to how quickly they get with you, how quickly they pay your claim, and that type of thing. And companies take longer longer or shorter to actually send someone out to look at your car. Many companies will send you to 2 or 3 shops. You'll get those estimates, and then they'll tell you, okay, well, now we're going to have our guy look at it. Many companies operate drive-in, so you can just drive in, get an appraisal instantly, and you're set to go. So you sort of need to know all of those things before you decide who to do business with, because it really, again, until you need it, you don't find out. Mm-hmm. But by then, it's too late.
Right.
The other thing I'd caution everyone against is the recommended shops. If they've got a recommended shop, find out what that relationship is and get an appraisal from another shop, because you can always have your car repaired at any shop you want to. Your insurance company has to deal with that shop.
No matter what?
No matter what.
Okay.
It's your car. You can have it fixed anywhere you want to. Now, they may try to steer you to a shop, and that may be fine, but it may not be. So I would get a second appraisal just to make sure. Keep everybody honest and mm-hmm. make sure that they're using new parts. Make sure they're replacing the parts that need to be replaced and not straightened, that kind of thing.
I recall a situation one time where a client called, and she had a Nissan Pathfinder that had been in a pretty severe accident, and they took it in and they didn't total it right off the bat, But as they worked on it, they found more and more and more. Well, they'd already spent X number of dollars.
That's a bad deal. Yeah.
Okay.
That's why people need to call Autoflex when they're our customers and they have problems. Because a lot of times a car will be close to a total loss, but the initial appraisal won't total out the car. And then they begin repairs. Once repairs have started, 99% of the time that car is going to get fixed, even when they find enough damage, they should have totaled it out to begin with. Here's what you can do. You can request a teardown and a total appraisal on the car. And that means that the shop will take the car apart and they will cover every bit of damage on the car, and that's the appraisal that the total loss would be based on. And if they do that and that extra damage is there, then you get it covered up front, then you get a total loss settlement, then you get out of that horrible wrecked car and into a new car.
So then you're not stuck with it.
Exactly.
There you go. All right, if you want to see where your insurance company rates, head to autoflex.com. Click on the Facebook page, and you can follow along with all the stories we talk about. Got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. Autoflex Lease, oh
yeah. We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Tony, and me, Sybil. Our phone number, 877-881-1053. If you've got a question, maybe you're going back and forth between a couple of cars, feel free to give us a shout. We're here till 10 o'clock for you. Also, you can call Autoflex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, autoflex.com, where you can build any car you might be thinking about. Look at all our great pre-owned cars. Get a free Black Book appraisal on your trade right there online. And apply for a lease, a finance, or a flex buy right there at autoflex.com. So you could really do the whole thing on your computer if you wanted to.
You could, yeah, if you don't want to get out in the chilly weather. Although it is going to warm up, and it'll be sunny, 67, good test driving weather.
Yes.
Got an Autoflex Leasing fan text here. Dave, I might have screwed up a little. I bought a used Malibu SS a couple weeks ago. I love it, but I've been repairing things ever since. Does the dealer have any responsibility?
Legally? No. I mean, that's the bottom line. Now, it's according to who you're dealing with. We've had many occasions where someone has purchased a pre-owned car from us and something has gone wrong right away.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually take care of that because we want our customers to come back to us. And even though the car is sold as is, which means that you take the car with no recourse toward the dealer, when you buy a pre-owned car, it's as is, the dealer may or may not choose to help you. He doesn't legally have to. It's sort of a moral thing or just a good business idea.
Mm-hmm.
We had a customer that we sold a pre-owned Mercedes to several months ago, and we found out that the CD did not work in the car, and to repair it was a bunch of money considering it was almost $1,000. But we didn't know it. No one had checked the CD, and we decided to do that. So we took care of that for him. I found out yesterday that fortunately he's fine, but the car is a total loss.
Oh.
And he's back to us and he's getting another car from us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those things go a long way
they
when do. You do them. They're
sure,
the smart thing to do.
If we hadn't fixed it, he probably wouldn't be calling us.
He would not be. He'd be calling somebody else.
Right.
That's,
so,
okay, good
but
business.
Legally, the owner does not have to do, I mean, the dealer does not have to do anything. It's just a question of whether they want to do it for business purposes.
I'm a big fan of an extended service agreement when you purchase a pre-owned car, or if you even purchase a brand new car and you plan to keep it forever, because this basically gives you that same peace of mind and peace of financial mind for a longer period of time, because it takes your 3-year 36,000 mile warranty. You know, you could stretch that out to 100,000 miles, 7 years. You know, we structure those to fit your driving habits, just like a lease. If you only drive 10,000 miles a year, then a 7-year 100,000 mile would do a lot of benefit for you. But definitely on a pre-owned car, because for just a small amount of money, you know, you turn the car new again, really. Rather than buying a brand new car, which
exactly.
might cost $10,000 more, you can spend between $1,000 and, say, $3,000 on average, depending on the make, model, and features on the car.
Two things you should get when you get a car, especially a pre-owned car, but any car. One is gap insurance, because that covers you in case, unfortunately, the car may get totaled out or whatever. If you owe more than the car's worth, the gap insurance pays off that difference, so you're out, you're clean. Secondly, an extended warranty that will cover you for any time the factory warranty doesn't, because everything on a car is expensive to fix now.
Yeah,
doesn't matter what it is.
They're rolling computers.
They are.
Yes.
I think a lot of people would wonder also, I know that particular fan texter had a used car, but if it's a new car, where does the Lemon Law come into place? If you get a new one and you're making a bunch of repairs, that comes to mind for me.
The Lemon Law is really, really easy to check on because you can go online and read all about it. But basically it says if you have a defect on the car that you've bought, it's a new car, it's still in warranty in the first 12 months, and they have a defect on there that, number one, they cannot repair, or a defect that markedly affects the safety or the resale value of the car, then you deal with what's called a Lemon Law claim. And it's actually a little lawsuit between you and the manufacturer.
Okay.
And the manufacturer decides either to buy that car back and make a deal with you that way, or replace the car if it is found out to be a lemon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's means that the car has had the same problem again and again, and they can't repair it, and you've got repair orders showing you they've tried and they've tried. I've seen it on a couple of cars where it actually happened and the manufacturer bought the car back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But the odd thing is then they repair those cars. The dealer will repair the car and they'll put it back out for sale again. But they do have to disclose, I believe, that it was a Lemon Law buyback car.
They do, in fact. And here's the other thing.
You should get a heck of a deal.
A lot of finance companies, a lot of banks will not finance a car that is a Lemon Law buyback.
Well, a lease bank won't lease one.
And a lease bank won't lease one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
877-881-1053 is the phone number. Let's head out to Louisville and check in with Lee. Good morning. You're on with David, Tammy, and Sybil.
Morning.
Morning, Lee.
Y'all just answered my text, but I figured I'd call and explain a little bit further.
Okay.
From day two after I bought the car, first I had to have a brake job done, $225, and they reimbursed me half the cost of the job.
Okay.
That's a
and
deal.
Since then, it's been little stuff. Tires, there's three different size tires on the things. And four different kinds of tires.
Right.
The size tires, that's what makes a difference.
All four tires are not the same size.
Well, yeah. There's three different size tires, four different kinds, and the problem is the sizes are different.
Well, that is a problem because that can cause the speedometer and the odometer to register irregularly, and it can also cause problems with the differential on the back end if you got two different sized tires on the back end.
Right, and I just had it at the shop, too, because it pulls to the right, and the sway bar link is bad, and the strut plate is bad.
Golly.
I mean, it's things that affect drivability, and it's only been a couple weeks.
Yeah, the car is no longer in factory warranty, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I you can continue to work with the dealer, and please don't use his name on air because I don't want to do that, but continue to work with the dealer and see what they can do. I mean, that's something that should not happen. They shouldn't have sold a car with that type of problem because that's pretty basic stuff. I mean, everybody in the business knows that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. They have a shop that they claim the vehicles are inspected and gone through before they're sold. They have a shop right next door.
Right.
But
it still doesn't change the fact that you got a car with different size tires and wheels on it.
Right.
That's not a good thing. James, I don't know what to tell you except that you're going to have to continue to work with them. Beyond that, you could certainly seek legal advice and see what they tell you. But it is a pre-owned car, and I'm going to guess that whatever you signed said that you understood it was a pre-owned car and that there was no recourse after the purchase.
Correct.
Yeah. Just continue to work with them best you can, but you're right. You're going to have to, I mean, worst case scenario, you're going to have to put the right size or the same size tires on the back end or the front end, wherever the drivetrain is,
right?
To straighten that part out. Otherwise, it'll just keep eating up pieces of the car.
Yeah, I'm going to have to correct a lot of things myself.
I'm sorry. Maybe we should have are those pre-owned vehicles inspected by a third party, you won't spend a lot of money, anywhere from $100 to $250, depending on what you're trying to have examined. But I'm a big fan of having a third party. If you don't know what to look for, hire somebody.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when we buy a pre-owned car for one of our customers, because our customers will find pre-owned cars all over the country that they want. They might find a car in Jacksonville, Florida, or Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. We send out a third-party inspector. before we do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We have the car inspected. It's not a big expense considering the downside. So it's just smart. If you're looking at a pre-owned car, and if you're buying a certified pre-owned car from a good dealer, you're probably fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're buying a car from not a big dealer
or sight unseen
or from an individual,
right,
then have it inspected. The biggest risk out there is actually buying cars from individuals.
True.
Because they don't really have to legally disclose anything to you.
Oh, yeah.
And so you sort of get what you get. But you can always have it looked at by, we use property damage appraisers based mm-hmm. out of Fort Worth. We use Crawford & Company. And I don't know if Lemon Busters is still around, but we've used them before.
Good idea. Well, we always talk about new cars and their new technology, and one of the things Volvo is coming out with will help store some energy.
This will be so cool.
It is sort of crazy. Volvo is coming out with a technology that actually stores electric energy in the panels of the car. So they've got a car, their first car they've done so far is an S80, and it has a hood and a deck lid on it. And it's made from a composite material, and sandwiched in the middle of the material is like a little layer that stores energy. So it's like a little battery layer. And so right now, with the hood and deck lid on the car, they can power the car just like it had a regular 12-volt battery in it. And what they're looking at is being able to replace all the body panels on a car with these energy-storing panels. And now you've got a car that doesn't weigh a zillion pounds, and you could have an electric motor in it.
Wonder what it will cost.
Well, it's going to be pretty darn expensive as it is right now because it's brand new technology. But the big thing, the thing that holds electric cars back is the weight of the battery.
Mm-hmm.
In order to have enough power to push the car, the battery has to be big and heavy. These body panels are lighter than the body panels they're currently putting on cars because they're made basically from a composite, which is a lot lighter than metal. So even with the battery layer in there, it's still lighter by some 15% than the standard body panels that go on now, and it stores energy.
So I'm curious, if you're in an accident, what happens with all that stored energy?
I don't know. You know, the other thing is, when it's raining and you grab your door handle, I'm just saying.
And you get shocked.
Well, we're going into the season when you get shocked by your own car.
Yeah.
That is true. The door.
You know,
you ground yourself before you...
Right.
This is like a lot of the things we talk about. It's coming in the future years, but it's an interesting idea, and it's a different concept, which does two things. Number one, gives you additional battery power, which could make an electric car a little more practical than they are now. And it also lightens the car, and that's what everyone is doing right now. All the manufacturers are working on lighter and lighter cars in order to try to reach the government CAFE requirements.
Interesting stuff. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
AutoFlex Lease, oh yeah.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Tony, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053. AutoFlex Leasing fan text is 43733. And as always, you can call AutoFlex. Sometimes people dance when they answer the phones, and what are the numbers there?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. If you wanted to follow along with all the stories that we're doing this morning and a lot more other fun stuff, go to autoflex.com, like our Facebook page, and you'll find all the stories we're doing here, plus more, on our Facebook page.
Would you find the story about Elon Musk and his fantasy car?
You would. And it's sort of an interesting story because the car's been around forever. Elon Musk is buying the James Bond submarine car.
Does everybody know who Elon Musk is?
The owner of Tesla and Tesla. PayPal.
Yes, exactly. That's how he became a billionaire, is he sold PayPal.
Uh-huh.
And so he's the owner of Tesla and SpaceX and a lot of other things. And he has bought the James Bond car from The Spy Who Loved Me, and he spent $997,000 to buy the car. Now, here's the story. In the movie, Bond drove the car, and he drove it into the water, and it became a submarine, and then he piloted it. Well, what they used was a Fiat that would drive with some fins stuck on the side, and then they had an actual submarine car that worked, and that's what he bought. This car disappeared for years and years, and a buyer of one of those big shipping containers, you know, you can buy
storage containers
that who knows what's in it.
Yeah.
Well, this guy buys it for $100 and he opens it up And here is this car that was used in the James Bond movie.
How did he know it was the exact car?
It was pretty apparent.
Okay.
And it's all covered up with blankets and stuff. And there's no wheels on it because the actual aqua car or submarine car didn't have wheels. They're supposed to have rolled up into it.
Okay.
The reality is that didn't happen either. But it is a functioning submarine. The car actually does work as a submarine. It doesn't drive. There's no wheels on it. And it doesn't have a car interior. It's pretty basic on the inside. It's got a place for the diver to sit and some controls so he can make the car go up and down and go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got four propellers in the back, and they're battery powered, and the batteries are in a sealed container. So it's really a submarine that works. Musk is going to turn it into a car that turns into a submarine. Now
he's going to make it the James Bond vehicle
exactly.
from the movie actually work.
Exactly.
They use two different vehicles in the movie, and he's going to really make it work.
Well, and considering he spent right at $1 million to buy it, you know, and guess what he's doing? He's giving it over to his Tesla engineers, make this car work. Well, if anyone can do that, he can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, if you wanted to check that out online, it's really interesting, and you see a picture of the car as it appeared in the movie. And again, it didn't ever drive, but it did act as a submarine. He's going to make it drive and put an interior in it.
It has
stuff.
Some body lines that remind me a little bit of an old Lotus.
Yes.
It's a Lotus Esprit. That's what it is. Yeah.
Look at that. Look at me.
It's a Lotus Esprit. And that's, so anyway, it's an interesting story.
That is cool. I'll be interested in seeing when that finally takes off.
Maybe how long it will take.
Video it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And seeing it take the plunge into the water.
Right.
Autoflex Leasing fan text. I'm a mechanic, and I tell people if the lot has a problem with them having a third party look at the car, then you shouldn't buy it.
This is regarding the story we talked about earlier, where if you're buying a pre-owned car, maybe you should invest a small amount and have a third party check out the vehicle to make sure that it is mechanically sound, that all the tires are the same size and matching, that you're not going to have to go out and spend hundreds or thousands of dollars redoing the brakes or the air conditioning or something. Mm-hmm. So,
the other thing to be careful of, by the way, is if you take it to a third party and they go, oh, but I know a guy, so-and-so.
Yeah, this car's no good, but buy it from
my buddy.
There might be something there.
There may be a little arrangement between him and his buddy, too. So if you can get an independent third party to look at it, that's really the best way to do it. It's $100 to $200, and it's well worth the money.
And Tammy had a good point in the commercial break. We were talking about it, and I said I think a lot of people are hesitant to use, you know, a spare $200 on something like that because if they end up not getting the car, then they go, oh, man, I just wasted $200. And Tammy said, well, think of the thousands of dollars that you save yourself down the line. It's like when you have your home inspected before you buy it. You pay a few $100 and
exactly.
You might find some big problem that makes you pull out of the deal. So it's the same thing. But only do it on a car that you're absolutely, you
serious.
Know, 1 inch away from getting.
Yes.
Yeah, serious about buying. All right.
Thank you. Good point.
Well, that was your point.
Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, thanks for saying it.
All right.
Love each other.
One of Tammy's favorite things is people that text when they drive.
I love those people.
She does because that gets her blood pressure really, really. Her heartbeat goes up. Her eyes dilate. She gets really excited. And it makes her hands do funny things. Gestures and things. So
makes her fingers do weird things.
It does. It does. But now here's the here's the truth. Texting while driving accounts for more and more accidents every year, and nobody's really got a clear solution for it. Now, a guy named Joey Cafoni has got a better idea. He has produced an app for iPhones that has a car mode, sort of like an airplane mode. And what it does is when the car rolls, you can't text. It shuts down your ability to text. It shuts down the ability for the phone to ring. It shuts down the phone, basically, while you're driving. And if someone texts you while you're driving, it sends them a message and says, Sybil can't get with you right now. She's driving.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be contacting you as soon as she stops. And then when you do stop the car and get out or whatever, then you'll get a list of everyone that you need to return text to and all their messages and phone calls and things like that. It's a really, really good idea. Now, I don't know what that does to the passenger in the car. I don't know how that affects them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just imagine all the ingenious ways people will start thinking about how to get around this if they actually do put it into effect.
Well, surely this is a self-imposed mode, just like airplane mode is. You actually have to put it in there yourself.
Right.
So is this something that's just going to happen once? Again, that's always been the issue, is if a phone was moving at a certain velocity, then it could go in automatically into no texting mode. But you've got passengers that should be able to text.
There's a lot of, well, and it's according to what you're willing to give up.
I said cut off their
fingers. It's according to what you're willing to give up to get your, you know, to be safe.
Well, didn't you tell me you watched a young woman almost basically drive up under a semi because she was texting?
I did. Well, she did drive up under a semi. She almost hit it. It was a tanker truck, too. It was a gasoline tanker.
No.
Coming around the curve at Woodall Rogers, she was texting and not turning, and her car ran up under a gasoline tanker. She jerked her car back right before she hit that tanker.
Oh, my gosh.
And so now she's going down Central, and she's still texting.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, if I am looking at my phone because I'm changing music on my iTunes, or if I'm trying to find direction somewhere, if I almost swerve out of my lane, I immediately put my phone down and go, whoa, that was a close call.
That's okay, so that's your... Well,
and here's the thing. I mean, it could work. This could work in one way because Apple could team up with insurance companies. Think about all of the money it would save insurance companies if they didn't have to pay claims for people texting and driving.
Mm-hmm.
So Apple could partner up with insurance companies and car manufacturers and put in like a Bluetooth device that would shut down your ability to text while the car was rolling.
Right.
Yeah.
Tony?
My phone, too, actually has that app. It's actually... part of the phone.
And you've got an Android?
Yes, I have the Galaxy.
I read about that.
The Galaxy S4.
Does it work?
It does. I actually haven't really used it, but it is one of those that you have to self-turn on to get to go.
Yeah.
You can put it in car mode, just like airplane mode, and it'll disable basically every feature on the phone.
Well, knowing that the Bluetooth is there, maybe the Bluetooth in the car can connect with the Bluetooth on the phone and put it in that mode because you have to connect your phone with your car when you register it or something.
Maybe. What's the app called?
Well, it's not really named right now. It's just an iOS interface, a user interface, and he has no name for it. But I think it's a good idea. Now, interestingly enough, the Autoflex Leasing fan techs are rolling in. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. I will not submit to my car telling me I can't use my phone.
Okay.
I'm driving, and that app is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What if there's an emergency? Well, usually if there's an emergency, you're stopped in Waco. I'm just saying. I don't know. I don't know. It's a huge problem.
Yeah, neither one of us. Nobody knows.
There's not a great solution for it right now other than, go ahead.
On emergencies, too, I mean, your phone comes with the emergency 911 button. So even if you have the car mode put in,
you can still
hit the emergency button to make any kind of emergency calls that you need to do.
Well, David solved his issue, and he puts his in his briefcase in the back now.
I don't have my phone around me in the car. If I have it, I will pick it up.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
It'll beep or ring or whatever, and I will pick it up.
Or if I get to a red light, I get bored and I pick it up.
The only way I can keep from doing it is I put it in my briefcase and I throw it in the back seat, and I don't touch it.
That's really smart. But see, I use my phone for navigation all the time. Anytime I go somewhere, I plug in the address and pull it up on my phone.
Well, that's so pretty well, but that's still, you just have to figure out a way not to touch it.
I know, I'd have to print out my Google Maps before I leave the house, old school style. But that's what I'm saying, though, with this particular app or this iOS system where it disables your phone, there's so many instances when you use it when you're not just texting and you're using it for legitimate, I mean, I pull
well,
up
if
my
you have, if
MP3
you have hands-free,
player.
If you have hands-free, this works for hands-free. So you can still do hands-free on your car and talk on the phone. You just can't text. Or answer a text.
Gotcha. All right. I'm sure.
What did we do in 1975 when we had to drive from here to Kansas?
Yep.
And we lost radio stations and we had nothing to do.
I always read.
Yeah. played the trumpet.
Read in the car. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You played the license plate game.
Right. Punch or punch buggy.
Yep.
But if you didn't have a passenger, what did you do? Punch.
Yeah, that's. Okay. I guess that's why people used to like driving and they could just get out in the open road and think.
Mm-hmm.
liked thinking a lot more back then.
Put the kids up on the put the kids up on the package tray in the back,
right?
You know, so that if anything happened, they would fly through the windshield.
So we have new safety issues. We got rid of the old ones. We started wearing seat belts, and the kids can't lay in the package tray, and now we text and drive. One way or another, we're going to kill ourselves in those cars.
There's too many people surviving, clearly.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. David, Tammy, Tony, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053. AutoFlex Leasing fan text is 43733. AutoFlex is open today at both locations. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. And we've got Save Money Mondays coming up. And here's what that means. It means that the cars that we normally send to auction on Tuesday, and every Tuesday we send cars to auction and auction them on Wednesday, those cars are going to be offered to the public on Monday. So you can go to autoflex.com, click on our specials, and see the Save Money Monday cars there. Or you can give one of our representatives a call today, ask them about the Save Money Monday cars, the wholesale cars that we're going to get rid of, and you can buy them one day. They're gone on Tuesday, I promise.
Mm-hmm. So be sure to check that out while you can. We always talk about self-driving cars and how sooner rather than later we're going to have them on the roadways. And now there's a new technology in place.
Well, you know, here's the thing. There's more and more manufacturers looking at how to make cars self-driving. You know, Volvo has the self-parking car. Ford this last week demonstrated self-parking. A number of them have built cars that stay within the lanes, that brake automatically if you're approaching the car in front too fast. So these technologies are all coming together, and they say that will culminate in a fully self-driving car by about the year 2025.
Wow.
And that's crazy.
In our lifetime, we'll
see
it.
That's 11 years away, if we're lucky. So here's the thing. Johnson Controls, which let me tell you, is a multinational, huge corporation that supplies every automotive manufacturer out there in every country in the world. Johnson Controls has a team dedicated to looking at what the interior of your car will look like when you no longer have to drive it. And it's really one of the first things that goes is the steering wheel.
How? What if you have to override something?
You're not on these fully operational autonomous cars. You won't have to drive them. That's the thing. You will get in the car, you will tell it where to go, and it will get you there. And you don't steer it, you don't accelerate, you don't decelerate, you just go.
Can you plug in the speed? Like if you're running late, can you set it to 80 miles an hour?
I should have expected that.
My biggest concern.
No. Now, here's the thing. They'll all that's very funny. They'll all drive at the same speed. Everyone, no one will have rear-end accidents. No one. If you want to text and drive, you can text and drive to your heart's content.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do your makeup.
Yeah.
So then exactly. You shouldn't be running late. Really.
Plug in my blow dryer,
exactly.
Do my hair. Yeah.
Sure. And so now the seats don't even have to face the front. Why would they? So you can have pivoting seats. So the people in the front seat could turn around, talk to the people in the back seat, or maybe you have little conference tables in there so you could sit and work on your way to work, or maybe you have a work partner and you both spin toward a little table and you set your computers up and you go to work right there when you're in your car. So the steering wheel will be one of the first things to go. And if you think about how much room that provides, it's huge. So no steering wheel. You don't need an instrument cluster like you have now. You don't need a speedometer. Yeah, hold that up to the microphone so people can see it. Thank you. Tammy's holding it up to the microphone.
There's a lot of room in this cabin.
Yeah, there is. Now, it's going to do away with a lot of stuff. For one thing, I'm not sure what motels on the highway will do for a living.
Yeah, really.
But now here's another thing I thought about. What about running out of fuel?
Well, surely it would some kind of bing.
I guess, but I mean, if
you're
not
low.
Driving it, if you're not looking at your instrumentation all the time, you could run out of fuel pretty easy.
Oh, it'll talk to you.
Yeah.
It looks to me like it has a heads-up display, and it'll do everything.
And it's got to have some way to change the station or your music settings.
Well, but here's the other thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'll just tell it.
Wow.
But here's the other thing. It no longer needs power steering. There's all kinds of things that are built into a car that we use to operate it that it will no longer need. So there's a huge weight savings in eliminating these items. And that's the kind of thing that Johnson Controls is looking at now. And they're looking at it with every manufacturer in the world. And they're saying by 2025, there will be a fully autonomous self-driving car available.
But those of you who want to continue to text while driving, you may not last long enough to see this.
What about a horn? Would it have a horn where, I mean, how would it know when to honk at people?
Why would you need one?
Well, to let somebody know, hey, I'm here to pick you up. It's 7 o'clock. Let's roll.
Yeah. Or if you're going through a parking lot and a car's backing out and doesn't see you coming.
Not everybody's going to have the self-driving car.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be very expensive.
Autoflex Leasing Fantex, they already have a self-driving race car. Well, if all it has to do is turn left, I could see that.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I mean, it'll just know to turn on the windshield wipers. It'll have some kind of sensor.
Why would you need to see out the window?
Oh, my gosh, this is crazy. Because on your ride, you want to look and see stuff.
Well, I understand, but
you don't.
No, I don't.
It's going to change everything about the automobile and probably the automobile business. You know, Chevrolet has just announced they're coming out with a dual-fuel car for 2015. This is a first. The Chevrolet Impala is going to come with a CNG tank, mm-hmm. a compressed natural gas tank, as well as a fuel tank for gasoline. And that is a really big thing, and here's why. CNG is dirt cheap when compared to gasoline. Compressed natural gas is like $1.50, $2 a gallon tops, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot less, and the car goes as far, and actually it burns hotter than gasoline, so it's a better fuel. So Chevrolet's idea in this Impala is it's going to have two gas tanks, and it'll go 350 miles on the gasoline and 150 miles on the CNG, which means that gives it a 500-mile range for the new Impala.
And it's less emissions to
burn
the CNG? Oh, yeah,
a lot less emissions than gasoline. It's just cleaner. With fracking, which is the way that they remove natural gas from shale, we have got a huge natural gas boom in the United States, and really enough natural gas from what I've read to hold us for at least the next 100 years. For anything we want to do, it's less expensive, it burns cleaner than gasoline, and it's a perfect car fuel. Now, there's not a good delivery system, so that means there's not a lot of filling stations that you can buy CNG at. Volkswagen is building a factory in Mexico right now that's going to build CNG cars. And the reason they're doing it is in Europe, there's a lot of gas stations that you can buy CNG. In the United States, there's only 1,200 nationwide. So,
and half of those aren't accessible to the public.
Exactly. Most of those are municipal. Most of them are municipal-owned because right. buses and cities run their trucks on CNG. It's cheaper. It's cleaner burning. It works as well as gasoline. Now, the tank has to be – it's a stronger tank to hold it because it has to be pressurized.
It's compressed.
Exactly. Natural gas.
Oh, naturally.
But it's a great alternative to gasoline for a fuel, and you can keep the same engine you got now.
But mostly municipalities will be buying this car. This is pretty much a city government type vehicle because they have the tanks and they're driving all the time. They'd love the size of this car. It's perfect for their needs.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, everybody's been waiting for this forever. Texas Motor Speedway is going to introduce a bacon-infused beer milkshake.
Yep.
Now, I know I've been waiting for this my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
It's called, and they're the same people that brought us Hog Heaven Bacon Candy Cotton.
Cotton candy.
So, it is a bacon-infused beer milkshake made with Rahr & Sons Ugly Pug Black Lager Beer, 6 ounces of Bluebell homemade ice cream, vanilla, and 2 ounces of bacon-infused maple syrup that's mixed in a blender and then topped off with whipped cream. And you can only get this at Texas Motor Speedway, and it's going to be there in time for the next race, October 31st through November 3rd, the Texas AAA NASCAR tripleheader.
That's right, and it's got bacon crumbles on top.
It does.
It's like instead of a root beer float, it's a beer float.
Bacon dessert.
And
speaking,
Sybil is going to be at TMS for that race.
Yes, I'm excited.
And speaking of races, there is a competition. You can name the new Viper color and win a trip to Daytona. They have a pale blue color. They're coming out with the new Viper, and there's a competition, a little contest. You can go online, name that blue, and possibly win a trip to Daytona.
Yes.
So check that out, too.
You can get to that from autoflex.com.
Sure can.
All right. If you missed any of the stories today, they're all posted at autoflex.com. Click on the Facebook page, like us, and you can follow along. If you are in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, call Autoflex, 817 or 972-234-1234. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you to Tony for David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. Well,